hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, we're going to kick off today's show with a very special guest, good friend of the show. And he just got a big award. And I can't think of a better way to kick off today's edition of the big show other than with Dan Orr from Divers Alert Network. Dan, how are you, my friend?
Doing fine, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm great. But you're probably on cloud nine. You just got a big award. It's going to be given to you at the DEMA show in Las Vegas here in a few months. Are you jonesing? Are you excited for this or what?
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic. In fact, it's almost left me speechless. And I think that's probably part of what they wanted to do, was try to find a way to make me speechless.
Yes. Well, but that's a good thing. You've got a lot to say. So that's fine. That's fair. But no, people want to hear you speak. You have an amazing amount of diving industry experience, and I kind of want to delve into that a little bit today and discuss why you are getting the Reaching Out Award that's going to be given to you at the DEMA show gala in November. So let's backtrack a little bit. Of course, you know, Dan Orr, he is the big cheese there at Divers Alert Network, and you've been doing that for many years, and we've talked about that, and we've had you on the show. But what about before that? How did you get into this stuff in the first place, Dan?
Well, part of it had to do with the fact that I grew up in Florida, in southern Florida. In fact, I was born in Miami. My grandparents owned a home in the northern Florida Keys on Plantation Key. And we used to go down there almost every weekend. And, of course, back in those days, which was the late 40s, early 50s, there weren't a whole lot of people going down there. So we had the beaches to ourselves. So the water was just, of course, absolutely pristine. And we spent a lot of time in and on and under the water.
And that just kind of whetted your appetite, I guess, to get into the industry, so to speak, or what?
Well, since the water was always part of my life, mm-hmm. I always wanted to become a diver. But my parents were a little cautious. They didn't necessarily think it was a good thing for me to do. And I wanted to have some sort of a career that involved the oceans or the water. And in fact, I thought about being a marine biologist for a while. And so I wasn't able to convince my parents to allow me to get certified until actually we'd left Florida, believe it or not, and moved to Ohio.
Okay.
So maybe it's some sort of cruel and unusual punishment. I'm not really sure. But my
Sounds
parents
like
decided on my birthday to give me a certification course, and they included my brother as well. So back in July of 1964, he and I took a scuba course in Dayton, Ohio. And we took a course from a guy named Ray Tussey, who was one of the early diving instructors. In fact, he was NAWI number 7.
Okay.
And so we took the course from Ray. And back in those days, certification was optional. And open water dives were optional. And so so when we finished the course, I actually had taken the written examination expecting to do an open water dive somewhere, and he just simply handed us the card and said, here, go check yourselves out.
Interesting. You know, we've come a long way since those days, I guess.
We have, absolutely.
Now, I'm guessing you took them up on those optional dives, and obviously you decided to make them mandatory, or did you go check them and just decide, well, okay, what the heck, we'll just go dive or what?
Well, we did. Actually, my brother and I and a couple of other people in the class went over to a local dive site in Ohio, one of the quarries there, and spent a day just enjoying the water and using the skills that we'd learned. And so I was really turned on by the whole thing. Even though at the time it was in a stone quarry, I was still really turned on. about it all. So I wanted to find a way of being able to include that in what I was going to do for the rest of my life.
Very good.
And then I decided to, after I got out of high school, go to college. And at the same time, the Vietnam War was going on. And so college was not necessarily a good experience for me. So I decided to go ahead and join the military. So I joined the Navy, spent a few years in the Navy, spent tour duty in Vietnam. And I was a swimmer on an air crew rescue team while I was over there. And when I came back, I decided to stay in the military, decided to stay in the reserve program. And then I was going back to college, and I was volunteering for a local scuba instructor in Dayton, Ohio. And that instructor had a heart attack.
Hmm.
And so since there was no one else there at the shop at the time who'd been working with students, his widow asked me to become an instructor. In fact, there was another friend of mine, a guy named Gordon Jump, who also was a volunteer. She asked both of us to become instructors. So that was in actually the latter part of 1971. And so we took an instructor course the next year, a YMCA and PADI instructor course down in Cincinnati. And in 72, I became a scuba instructor and started teaching classes for that dive store while I was continuing with my college. My education, and then the university decided to open a swimming pool. So I went over to the administration and I said, you know, you're going to open a swimming pool. I think it'd be a good opportunity for you and for the students to have a scuba course. So they allowed me to do that, and we were able to get the scuba course for college credit. And so it became very, very popular because students could now take it for college credit. And we then developed an entire program at the school, which is called Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio. And at one time, it was one of the largest, if not the largest, college-level diving program in the country.
Wow. So, you know, and we're just scratching the surface of the stuff that Dan's done. I mean, you know, and then he went on to do more stuff. He's at Divers Alert Network. And you're getting the Reaching Out Award because they recognize people in the industry that have done a lot to grow the sport or to, you know, promote diving. And you just described a nice little element of it where you helped to, you know, create that that curriculum there in Dayton, Ohio for diving. So that's just one of many things that you've done. Do you think that's just kind of ingrained, though, when you get into this activity? Because I find most divers, once you get certified, even if you're just an open water diver, you want to share that joy, that love for diving. Is that, you think that's kind of at the heart of this yourself too, Dan, or what?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. And I think the other thing that I discovered when I became a scuba instructor was the fact that I enjoyed teaching. And I enjoyed sharing the knowledge that I had and the experiences I had with others. And I think that helped me further my career because as an instructor, it gave me an opportunity to speak in front of groups. It gave me an opportunity then to look at doing presentations outside the university environment, you know, at conventions and dive shows and those kind of things. And I think that really excited me as well because there has always been a real thirst for knowledge within the diving community. And so it gave me an opportunity to be out there and interact with divers and it's a huge fraternity and a fantastic fraternity of people that really enjoy this sport and want to share it with each other.
Yeah, well, your award is very well deserved for sure. Do you have any idea how many divers you may have influenced to get into this sport or certified yourself? Do you have any idea?
Oh my gosh! Well, we think that when I was at Wright State, it was probably in excess of about 10,000 students that we dealt with during the 15 years or so that we were there because
wow.
We had a number of different programs. Then I went on and worked at Florida State University for a few years and taught some students there. So, you know, probably somewhere around 15 to 20,000 students, I would imagine, that were in courses that I took. But then also, you know, who knows the number of people that were lectures and seminars and those kind of things that were involved in what we did after that. And then, of course, coming to Dan and starting the auction program, there are a lot of other people that were influenced by those things.
Right. Well, yeah, there's no question. It would be hard to put an exact number on it, but it's definitely an impressive number, no doubt about it. And just, you know, you have such a great energy. He's just so much fun just to hang out with. And we're going to do that in October on our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise with Explorer Ventures, October 6th. I can't wait for that. Can you?
Yeah. That's fantastic. We had a fantastic time the last time we were together, and it's going to be equally enjoyable this time.
No doubt about it. You get to literally dive with a living legend. I mean, that is so cool. And you know, he's a friend of ours. That's what, you know, sometimes I get a little jaded here, Dan, and all these people I get to talk to, like yourself, you know, I'm like, oh my God, these guys have done so much. I have done squat, but look at it, what they've done. And
well, you've done a tremendous amount. Look at the number of people that you influence with your radio program.
Well, I don't know if it's influence or, you know, corrupted. You know, it depends on how you look. It's a matter of perspective. But you've done some...
Well, that debate still rages.
Well, no doubt. It's all good. And once again, congratulations on your Reaching Out Award. I will be there with bells on or something. I don't know. We'll do something and cheering you on there at the event at DEMA. All right.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. And, you know, isn't that great? Dan Orr, who we're going to be diving with in the Turks and Caicos October 6th with Explorer Ventures, has just been announced that he's going to get the Reaching Out Award from DEMA. And I know someone else who joins me in congratulating him on that honor is Bob Evans from Force Fins. And he is on Scuba Radio right now. Bob, how are you?
Hey, Greg, fantastic. What wonderful news.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great? I mean, you know, and actually, you know, I know you've done a lot with the Nogi Awards in the last few years. He won a Nogi years ago, didn't he?
Yeah, and he was very active on the board at one time before I was on the board and as president, and he's been, Dan of Dan.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan of Dan Alert has been so supportive with the Academy when I was with as president and on the board. excuse me, we're on a radio show.
Yeah, hey, come
on. We're in the Force Spin headquarters, and we're just unbelievably, after, 25 years, got accepted by the Navy and the Marine Corps for Force Spins for the BUD. So it's created a kind of a commotion around here. But anyway, Dan Ord, you know, I had a chance to dive with him in the Caymans about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And he's always been like my hero. And him and his wife, Betty, are just probably the finest individuals, we have in the dive industry. And they do so much to help people. And we ended up on a boat together, and we got to dive that, what's that shipwreck, that big...
The Kittiwake.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Caymans?
And he and I, it just was so cool, and we found that Dan had actually made a contribution, and we found the plaque on the ship hull from Divers Alert, and we got a picture of us together, and we just, it was just one of the best. In fact, it was so weird that you'd call and talk about Dan Orr, because I was in the pool swimming this morning thinking, what a great experience. I went dive down to the deep end. We swim in this Olympic pool every morning. I dove down to the deep end, and I just had that moment of visualization with Dan, us swimming around, and both of us were like not all that comfortable getting inside, penetrating the hull of the ship. And afterwards, we said, we would have been just fine swimming around the outside of it.
Yes. Well, you need to practice safe diving and avoid that penetration at all costs if you're not prepared for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's kind of, they put us through it. And afterwards, we kind of said, man, we would have opted out. It got down. I don't know where we ended up, Greg, down inside the engine room or something. It's all dark down there. And I'm like going, I just, it's not my thing, I dove in shipwrecks when I was a kid, real young, off of Hermosa Beach. Actually, where we were diving a few months ago, and was on a ship one day, swimming around the hull. The next day, we came back, and the entire hull of the USS Avalon had just collapsed overnight. Had just come down, and afterwards, I thought, I'm just fine swimming around the outside of these ships. And
yeah, you don't want to be in one of those when something like that would happen.
No, not at all. But Dan, we just had, it's just what diving's about. And we, the times we've been diving together, just I'm really looking forward to spending more time underwater than this next year.
Yes. Well, Dan from Dan, it's good that he's racking up those accolades and awards. It's well deserved. And he is. He's a great friend just to hang out and dive with. And you know it. I know it.
We were at that banquet dinner sitting next to each other.
Sure.
And I bring up, hey, Greg. And what? Turns out he just got back diving with
you. I was like, I hate that guy.
Oh, yeah, Greg Holt. he's the greatest. We love Scuba Radio.
Yes, well.
No, he's so dynamic.
He checks
really,
in the mail, Bob.
As a representation of what divers are, he's the top guy.
He is. He's the Dan of Dan. He has to be, I guess, right? But, you brought up that site where we dove off the coast of California. What's it again? Palos Verdes?
St. Vincent Point with the killer kelp.
The killer kelp that almost engulfed Bob Evans from Force Fins. Yes. But you survived, but your faceplate didn't. Did you, has it shown up? No sign of your faceplate?
No. And I've been reading, it's so weird, we're diving surf and someone had a mask there and I picked it up, put it on my face, and I went, wow, this feels really awesome. It turns out it's that atomic mask, which a lot of people are talking about online, and I heard him say, oh, some poor guy left it at the pool, it's a $150 mask. And I thought, what are people complaining about spending $700 for a pair of fins when a mask is $150?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got they get what they pay for.
But I have to get a new mask. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You lost your faceplate. This was an old style mask with actually lens correction built into it, right?
Yeah. I'm sure somebody's going to come across it and think they found King Tut's tomb or something.
I know. They're going to think, oh, my God, this is from the 50s. Well, it might have been from the 50s. I don't know. When did you get that mask?
Might be from the 40s.
40s. Okay.
And I look back at the pictures. I looked at some pictures online with you and I on a trip, and you took with me swimming around with the old sperm forest, and I thought, man, that mask is really weird. Time to upgrade with
Time to get
mask.
With the 90s.
Yeah. A mass to match my fins.
Yeah. Well, okay, you do. Why, you know, you ought to upgrade there, Bob. I mean, you got all these new fangled fins and models that you have for force fins. You need to complement that maybe with a new style mask as well, you think?
Yeah, definitely. And it looks like Atomic might be the good bet.
Yeah, well, they make good stuff. There's no doubt about it. So have you made any plans to do any more diving off the coast of California there, or has that been it for now?
Yeah, in the bottom of my pool.
All right, well, at least you're staying wet.
And it was great. I took a nap.
Yeah, well, excellent. And well, I mean, but what about any dive trips? You plan any things out to Fiji with, like, Jean-Michel Cousteau or anything like that, you know, in the near future or what?
God, Greg, who knows? I mean, we're in the midst of a lot of changes here at Forspin, and people have been thinking we're going out of business. We're doing great. We just can't get the product made fast enough. So looks like we're going to actually, for the first time, set up our own production facility for our own company so that we can provide the service and the good products that we have throughout the years, and our gas pod project's going fantastic on cars, and so it's going to be an exciting time. And like Suzanne said, as soon as we cut a big deal, we're looking at 5,000 trucks to put pods on. As soon as that deal goes through, she says I can pick anywhere I want to go diving.
Oh, nice. Yeah, now these pods, they stick them on cars, and it improves your gas mileage. What's the website for that, by the way?
Gaspods.com.
We'll set that up.
Hey, you'll love this, Greg. Getpodded.com.
Getpodded.
But P-O-D-D-E-D.
Yeah, the other one will take you to a thing that's very popular in California, definitely for medicinal purposes, but that's another show.
You need to get podded.
Yeah. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Bob Evans from Force Fins is on the line with me. And before I let you go, Bob, I probably should explain this gas pod thing you've been working on, this little side project that who knows what it might turn into. But, you know, you do your Force Fins and you started making these gas pod things that are kind of modeled off the, I don't know, are they kind of like the same little speed pods you have on Force Fins? Is that a similar type of thing or what?
Well, it is, Greg. It's the same technology. A lot of the things that were developed in Force Fin designs have other applications, wave energy, drag reduction, whether ship hulls or cars. And divers, we travel a lot. And anytime with gas prices, one of the problems with Force Fin is the cost of the materials just skyrocketed three times. So we're paying the same thing at the pump.
Mm-hmm.
So by putting 9 pods on a particular spot in the back part rear end of the car, we can reduce the drag for about 5%, and some of our vehicles are getting a 3 extra miles per gallon. So one of my friends has a big Yukon truck. I said, you just saved $13. He goes, yeah, I'm gonna get some Red Bull. So you know, it's a way to save. Every gallon of gas puts 20 pounds of CO2 into the atmosphere, so every way we can reduce that carbon footprint and save fuel, we're gonna save the environment. And it's the beginning of a new company called Aerohance, Aerohance, that we're forming kind of out of technology that we learned in the Force Fin business since 1971.
That's nice. Well, and, you know, Force Fins are made to be more efficient underwater, and that applies to airflow as well. So it's an interesting little thing. Gaspods.com. You can go there, check it out. And, of course, if you want to use that technology in your diving activities,
ForceFin.com. Remember the flying forest? I mean, look at
That's
all
right.
The airplanes of upcurved wingtips.
Yeah.
Woodfin went in Boeing's wind tunnel. Remember that story?
I do. The flying force fins.
Yeah.
That's what I'm still using right now. You know, I love it. Great work, Bob, as always. So,
hey, we'll stay in touch, and maybe we'll be all diving with Dan Orr.
Yes, we'll be doing all kinds of diving with Dan or whoever we can dive with. Bob Evans, ForceFins.com. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 248. No scuba certification agency currently recognizes watching SpongeBob SquarePants cartoons as educational reference material.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
But maybe they should.
It's pants on fire, Patrick.
Well, you would know, liar.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio today is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Dives Alert Network. How you feeling today, Nick?
Feeling great, Greg. How about you?
Feeling better.
Were you sick?
Yeah, well, I was seasick.
Oh, that's no fun.
Nah, actually, I was just kidding. I'm just reliving my Oscar-winning performance of my vomiting scene from the Dan video. Oh, yeah. That was good times.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been seasick?
Oh, have I? No one's immune to it, and it gets most of us at one time or another.
Yeah, I got to admit, even outside my acting debut, it's gotten me a lot. But I want to beat it. Is there any way I can do this once and for all?
Greg, I wish I could tell you that there's a foolproof way, but there's really no guaranteed method. Spending more time on the water can help because you become more resistant, but even the most seasoned sailors can get queasy.
Okay, how do I hedge my bets at least?
First, don't stress about it because it's common and it's just a physical reaction to motion. A lot of people experience it. And if you're ever on a dive boat that says that they've never had someone get seasick, you're probably their first customer.
So resign myself to the fact that it's just going to happen?
No, just don't stress about it or get embarrassed if it does.
But how do I avoid it?
Start with taking care of yourself the night before you dive. Take it easy on the alcohol, eat well, and get a good night's sleep.
All right, look, if I'm going to lay off the drinks, I need to know why.
The better you feel, the better able your body is going to be able to adapt to conditions.
Okay, that makes sense. But what else?
Make sure you have a little something in your stomach when you get on board. I know it sounds crazy, but it makes a difference. Stay away from heavy and greasy food, but do try to eat a little something.
What recommendations do you have in winning the mental game? Sometimes I think part of the problem is that I half expect to get sick, and so I do.
And that's a really good point. The mental side can be a big issue. Sounds trite, but the best you can do is to try not to think about it. Let your mind wander or focus on anything else besides the motion you're experiencing.
If that doesn't work, what? Crawl into the cabin and lie down until you get to the dive site?
Exactly the opposite. Actually, stay on deck and in the middle of the boat if you can. The fresh air will do you good, and your eye will be able to stay on the horizon. That actually helps your body adapt to the motion, because what your eyes see will match what your body is feeling. Your mind will be less confused. Stand up, too, as your legs can also help to absorb the motion.
What if all this doesn't help? Can I still dive if I get sick?
As long as you're still up for the dive and not too dehydrated from getting too sick, absolutely. In fact, seasick divers are usually the first off the boat. Getting under the waves and the motion will also make you feel better, and the dive will get your mind off your stomach. But if the seasickness takes too much out of you, I'd recommend staying on the boat.
That's the last thing I'd want to do.
I know, but if you're not physically up for the dive, it's just not worth the risk.
Can't I just take a pill?
You can, but understand that there's no magic pill. There are lots of medications out there, but no guaranteed remedy. Part of this is a trial and error to see what works best for you.
I find ginger works best on the natural side.
A lot of divers have luck with ginger, as well as other natural remedies that employ pressure points and magnetic pulses.
I've used those. They're pretty good.
If you prefer to try the pharmaceutical side, medications like Dramamine or Scopolamine are very popular. But remember that if you decide to try one of them, be careful. They can have side effects like drowsiness and dry mouth, and we know that fatigue and dehydration are not a diver's friends. So test them on land well before you dive to see how you react, and be aware that drugs wear off. So you'll want to consider that in your dive planning.
So what you're saying is that I've got options.
You do indeed. You just have to try them and find out what works best for you and what doesn't.
And if none of them do?
If you gotta go, use the leeward side. And don't use the marine head. It just can't handle it. Stay outside in the fresh air and try to drink fluids as much as possible so you stay hydrated. And above all, remember that it's no big deal.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, there's no shame in seasickness. It's common. And it can be uncomfortable, but it can lead to dive risks, too. So do what you can to minimize seasickness or prevent it altogether. Whether you beat it or it beats you, just remember to take care of yourself. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. On the line with me is my buddy Mike Ainge from Seaduction Dive Center in Key West. Mike, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. How about yourself, Greg?
I'm good. So I know you've been doing a lot of stuff lately down there in Key West. You bought a dive store. I don't know. It's been about a year now, I guess, right? Maybe
not. About 6 or 8 months.
Okay, thereabouts. And so you're cranking right along and doing some interesting things down there in the Keys. One is you've decided to go, I don't know, is this a first for a dive boat to go exclusively on biodiesel or what? What is it? What's going on down there with that?
As far as I know, we are the only commercial charter in Key West of any type, and we are the first dive charter vessel in all of the Florida Keys to go exclusively biodiesel. It's a real green decision, and we're happy that we've done it, and we're getting lots of good feedback on it from customers, and we think we're doing the right thing here.
Yeah, well, it sounds interesting. Now, biodiesel, for people who don't know, is actually derived from used cooking oil from, like, fast food restaurants and things. Is that right?
That's right. We're taking a waste product that has to be dumped somewhere. We're recycling it, and we're running it as fuel in our boats.
That's amazing. And I imagine there's a lot left over there in the Keys. I don't know if you have a main source, you know, like Hooters or something down there in Key West where you're getting your oil or you used oil, but there's no shortage of that stuff laying around, I'm guessing, right?
Now, there are several restaurants in the community that contribute their waste product. There's a company up in Marathon that processes and filters this stuff for
right.
us. It's Marathon Biodiesel. I'll give those guys a plug.
Sure.
And they are processing the stuff for us and delivering it to our boats. And so far, it's working out real well.
Yeah. Now, is it cost effective too, or is it costing a little bit more to run this green operation like that?
It's costing us a little bit more, but we think the trade-offs are worth it. Obviously, there's a huge trade-off to the environment. When you fuel boats every day like we do, inevitably, there's always a few drops that wind up in the ocean. This stuff is completely non-toxic. The fumes that it produces are non-toxic. It's a better decision all the way around.
Now, I'm guessing, as far as the fumes, I have heard this. I haven't witnessed this firsthand, but I've heard that the fumes from biodiesel are actually much more pleasant than regular diesel because you kind of have like that French fry kind of smell going on, or is that right? Or is that just me?
That's absolutely correct. And we've had customers on the boat already saying that,
I'm hungry. You're making me hungry.
Every time they go out on a diesel, don't get seasick because they don't have the fumes.
Yeah, but it's like triggering the hunger pains. I guess that's the offshore.
The crews have complained about the French fry smell from that perspective.
but you start serving snacks, you're going to be able to offset any extra costs it costs to process this biodiesel. Well, hats off to you, Mike. That is a unique new thing that I actually saw the press release a week or two ago, and I think that's a great thing that you're doing and setting a great example for, you know, recyclables and things, because we want to do that. We want to protect the reef. We want to save the planet and all that kind of stuff. You can do a little bit of the same while you're doing your favorite activity of diving. It's just a bonus, right?
Yes, it is. That's absolutely correct.
Now, let's talk about some of the other things you've been doing down there at Seaduction Dive Center in Key West. The idea was initially when you opened up the store was to kind of kick tech up a notch down there in that area. Is that coming along nicely or what?
It is coming along nicely. I mean, we still, you know, 90% of our business will always be recreational divers, and we still cater to those guys as well. But we wanted to have a venue for tech. This is the birthplace of technical diving, and there was no place down here that was really catering to those divers any longer. So that's what we wanted to do, and we kicked it up a notch. We run in some rebreather instructor programs. We've been doing some dives to some of the deeper wrecks, and we're getting an increasing tech following coming through the door.
Yeah, and I know you're big time into the rebreathers and things. I'm certified on the, you know, on the Inspiration and Evolution rebreather systems. I know you've been working with Poseidon, right? Is that their new one? What's it called?
The Mark VI Poseidon rebreathers is really oriented toward recreational divers, but now the upgrades are out, and I am actually diving the first generation Trimix version of that rebreather, which we're testing and developing the training program for as we speak.
This is great stuff. We got to talk more about this.
All right.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
This is Tim from the Turk and Caicos Explorer 2.
You're plenty of the most girls I've shagged.
Till you have a chance to come and dive with me in the Turk and Caicos.
Mental, that one. I'm telling you.
Keep listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Finally, something for the radio audience.
I fancy it.
Yes, remember, October 6th through the 13th in the Turks and Caicos, we do our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. Don't know if Tim will be on board, but we'll have a couple mermaids, a scuba cowboy, myself, Dan and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network. It's going to be quite an adventure. Make sure you sign up for that by going to exploreadventures.com or give them a call at 1-800-322-3577. And if you're a fan of us on Facebook, you can enter to win a free spot. So all the details are right there at scubaradio.com. Mike Ainge is my guest right now from Seaduction Dive Center down in Key West. Now, Mike, you were talking about these Poseidon rebreather systems. I saw them at the Rebreather 3 forum. You were there, too. And I haven't been able to get in the water on these systems. I've just had some experience with the Inspiration and Evolution rebreathers myself. But these look pretty interesting. And they are specifically, or at least initially, they were designed specifically for recreational divers, right?
The out-of-the-box unit, the Mark VI, it was designed for recreational divers. It's a very automated system, very easy to use, takes some of the guesswork and decision-making away from the diver, which is necessary for folks that don't have the experience, and it fits well with that recreational market. But the unit's also upgradable. It's now doing tech as well.
Yeah, which, and let's define that. So recreational would be staying within the recreational limits and not doing any decompression diving, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and so if you want to upgrade it to tech, and now you can get into decompression diving, extended bottom times, really pushing these units to the point where you could do like a three-hour dive, right? Something like that?
Oh, you can do a three-hour dive now. Most people are amazed to find out. They go out and do a two-hour dive on the Vandenberg, and they never hit decompression because of the constant PPO2 monitoring that you've got, or decompression profile that you're running.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, people are getting that already. But yeah, we can go deeper and longer, so we can do it both.
Nice. And so these modifications they're making to the Mark VI Poseidon rebreather unit, how involved is that? Is that a module that you put on this rebreather system, or is it something you take to the dive store like Seduction Dive Center there in Key West and you do it for them, or what?
Well, you have to be qualified, but once you're qualified, there's a software upgrade that is programmed into the unit. The user can do that from home. There's a module they have to buy that plugs into the unit, and then they can do the software upgrade via their laptop at home, or they can come into a dive center like us, and we'll be glad to take care of it for them.
Interesting. Now, what do you think about this technology overall? Do you see this as the future of diving? Like, you know, kind of reflecting back on what we saw at the Rebreather 3 forum a couple months ago, there's a lot of people that believe this is the new wave. This is going to be, I don't know, maybe the new Nitrox or just the next big wave for the diving community. You see that happening from your perspective, too, or what?
I do. I mean, we still have a few stores out there that don't sell Nitrox, but frankly, most of them are out of business. Rebreathers, you know, they're shifting the perspective, and it's the next new thing. It's the first new and exciting thing that's hit the industry since about the late 1980s, in my opinion. So, I mean, rebreathers have been around for a while, but the Poseidon is really taking it to the next notch as far as making it accessible to every diver.
And what about the difference between the rebreathers? Now, like I said, I'm certified on the Inspiration and Evolution rebreather systems that are very good systems. They're established. They've been around, I think, maybe longer than most of the other companies. But, you know, I don't even really know, to be honest. But I know Poseidon has this Mark VI rebreather that is really being received very well with dealers and the recreational community. I know Patty is that was kind of like their first big recreational, you know, breather system that they were talking about, right? I mean, do you think they kind of have a head up on everybody in that regard, or are we going to see a bunch of these different units come out over the next year or two?
Greg, I think as time goes on, we're going to see a bunch of recreational units coming out. Hollis has one on the drawing board at the moment,
right?
That's in final testing. I think we're going to see some folks coming out, or some units coming out from VR3, and I think we're also going to see, you know, the Inspiration folks. I think Martin and his crowd over in England are about ready to release something as well. So I think we'll see a lot of those units coming out on the market. But Poseidon is really, they're the forerunner, kind of like the Draeger Dolphin of the 1990s. They've turned it up a notch and made it accessible to everyone. And it's the first rebreather in the world that I am comfortable teaching a brand new diver on that's never been in the water before.
Wow.
And that's one of the things that makes this unit unique and different. SSI has launched an open water course. The diver will never dive open circuit except for one orientation in the pool. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the open circuit training sometimes works against you when you're doing these rebreathers things. Is that what you're finding, too, anyway?
I've been teaching rebreathers for, I don't know, the better part of 16, 17 years now, and open circuit divers have lots of bad habits we have to break, and the longer they've been diving, the more bad habits they have.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, I love it. I mean, actually, Mike, reflecting back on many years ago, was my instructor for my first rebreather experience on the Draeger Dolphin. You remember that back at Ocean Fest back in the day? We did that.
I do. I remember those days back at Ocean Fest. That was a great show.
That was good times. Good, and I just got a little taste of it. I was like, wow, this is so much fun. But then Draeger ended up having some issues, and they pulled out of the market kind of, and we kind of went and focused on some other things for a while. But here it is coming back and coming back pretty strong. I think it's here to stay. From what I've seen here lately, too. So, and you're seeing a lot of interest, too, I'm guessing, down there in Key West, right?
We've trained, by the end of this month, we'll have trained almost 20 instructors, not to mention divers, on this one specific rebreather in our store here.
Excellent. Well, if I come down there, are you going to give me a little experience on one of them things?
Absolutely. Come on down, man. Love to get in water with you again.
It's all I needed. Just someone to ask me. All right, well, that'll do it for hour one. We got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck. Lots of great stuff coming up, including how you could win that free spot on the Explore Adventure Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise that we have in October in the Turks and Caicos. All right, it's all coming up in hour two. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
These little snails, you know how to whale here. That's why it's hotter under the water. Yeah, we love you.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.